1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Mourners have just hours more to file past Pope Francis' body before his funeral. CBS's Nora O'Donnell is at the Vatican.
First tonight begins the ancient ritual of sealing the coffin by Cardinal Kevin Farrell, the Camerlengo of the Roman Catholic Church.
Russia's foreign minister speaking out after President Trump rebuked Vladimir Putin for new deadly strikes on Kyiv. Sergei Lavrov tells CBS's Face the Nation.
We consider serious proposals. We make serious proposals, and this is a process which is not supposed to be public until the end of it.
Former New York Congressman George Santos faces more than 7 years in prison when he's sentenced for fraud today. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
He basically took political donations and used them for his own personal casino holidays and designer clothes and even Botox treatments.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Milwaukee's congresswoman wants the feds to help out Milwaukee public schools. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Milwaukee's congresswoman wants the feds to help out MPS. Congresswoman Gwen Moore was on the Maggie Dawn show this week, urging the Trump administration to reinstate fired CDC lead experts and approve federal aid for Milwaukee's school lead crisis. Four students have tested positive for poisoning and several schools remain closed for abatement. The CDC denied Milwaukee's request due to staffing cuts, which eliminated the agency's lead prevention team.
And protect your identity and avoid scams if you're heading to the NFL draft in Green Bay. Sports fans from all over the nation are there now through Saturday. Lisa Hale has some things you should be aware of.
Scammers may attempt to exploit the fast-paced environment by targeting them with various fraudulent scams and schemes. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection recommends visitors make purchases with a credit card because they offer built-in protections against fraud. They also warn visitors to protect personal information and watch for possible transportation-related scams, such as fake tickets or QR codes that might lead to fraudulent sites. We have a story offering tips and tricks to keep your information safe and to protect you from transportation scams on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced over $320,000 of investments for county forest roads. They say the funding will support the improvement of over 930 miles of roads across 24 counties in the state. Roads eligible for the funding must be a part of a comprehensive county forest land use plan. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers finally take a receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay at the NFL Draft. The Packers used the 23rd pick overall to select a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, 6 foot even, 195 pounds, out of Texas.
You know, definitely a lot of emotions, man. It all go back to, you know, wanting to be drafted in the first round. And, you know, I knew it was an opportunity, each team. You know, when the Packers came, you know, I had a feeling, like I said, that they was going to come get me. And, you know, once I got the call, I answered, and they told me they was picking me, man. So it was a lot of excitement.
GM Brian Gutekunst on the decision to finally take a wide receiver in the first round in 23 years.
Obviously, he's a very gifted athlete, gifted football player, but he's also just wired exactly how we want our guys in the locker room, and I think he's going to fit in really well.
The draft continues tonight. Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis to open a three-game weekend series. NBA playoffs, game three of the Bucks and the Pacers tonight at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A little fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers here for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 50, bit breezy with northerly wind gusts from 15 to 20, maybe up to 25. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-30s. Tomorrow sunny, upper 50s. By Sunday, partly cloudy in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to look at the NFL draft in Green Bay, some news of the day, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, April 25th, 2025. Coming up this hour, we will have a forecast from Brittany Merlot in just a second, including for the second round of the NFL draft at Lambeau Field. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will be here, along with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, our Week in Review panel. We'll talk about some of this week's headlines coming up, including on a serious note, sentencing yesterday for the person who engaged in a mass shooting at a parade in Illinois, killing seven people, and almost did the same in Madison a couple of years back. So we'll talk to Jim Santel about that. Dan Schumacher will be along later this hour. We'll talk a bit about the NFL draft and who got picked throughout the NFC Central, of course, as well. And then in our next hour, our 8 o'clock hour, our new third hour, we will talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley about the folks in the Trump White House who want to come up with some kind of a national plan to encourage women to have more babies. But, you know, not give them the things that moms say that they need that would encourage them to expand their families. And then we'll wrap things up by talking to Devin Remicker, one of the candidates to be the next state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's the current executive director of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. So all that is coming up. Just a reminder, if you missed our last hour, you can do a couple of different things. You can go over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And from there, you can learn all about the shows and the stations. You can, as well subscribe as a podcast. So listen back to the shows or at the Civic Media website or as a podcast. We'd love to have you up to date on everything that we're talking about. We're talking about the weather right now with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Greg Bach is down at Radio Park as well. And Brittany, I don't know what the whole evening was like, but a couple of different times I was noticing the lack of like a downpour or anything on the 205,000 people in Green Bay yesterday for the draft. And it seemed like, looking at the radar, like this big old blob of rain was running from like Rochester, Minnesota, through the Chippewa Valley, through Wausau, then up to like Iron Mountain in Marquette, Michigan. And that Green Bay was just to the east of it and kind of missed a big chunk of it, which was rather nice. It was kind of like a good NFL, lineman, just kind of blocking, keeping that all away.
Yes.
Well, and that ends our sports talk for today, everybody. So.
Wow.
It was pretty cool to see, like you said, the rain was filling in everywhere else, but leaving the Fox Valley alone for a wonderful night for them. I don't think today, at least when the gates open at noon, is going to be much better, unfortunately. Mm. We do have that rain that wants to push in right at noon into Green Bay and lasting through about 5 o'clock now. So the heaviest hours of rainfall will probably be from 1 to 3 in Titletown, but it's not looking like a lot of rain. A lot of areas in Wisconsin already picked up 1/4 inch to 1/2 inch today, and they're just looking at 1/10 inch. So you are really, really lucking out in Titletown. It is going to be decent rain. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to get a heavy downpour soaking. You're just going to need the poncho. It'll just be a few hours and it'll clear on out of here. High temperatures, though, only hitting about 50. And with the winds gusty around 20 miles per hour, I think it's really going to be feeling like the low 40s out there today, plus the rain on top of it.
But you were saying the heavy stuff's throughout the day, but the next round starts at like 6 o'clock Central Time. So you're saying by evening things will be better.
Yep. So for TV, we're going to look perfect. But if you're going there for the festivities, anywhere between noon to 5, you're going to get some rain.
Okay. But the rest of the weekend looks good?
Yes, it does. We have a gorgeous high-pressure system moving in. It's actually going to clear our clouds far northwest early this evening. That'll work its way through the state overnight. So we'll be waking up tomorrow to beautiful temperatures in the mid-50s to low 60s. Plenty of sunshine. And that holds for most of us on Sunday. However, we are looking at a few scattered showers that want to move through the north Sunday afternoon. And then Monday, we've got some severe weather headed towards the state.
Yes, that is mentioned in just a minute here by Rob in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, rain, 44 degrees. We need the rain as we are getting into the growing season. I was busy getting all the trees trimmed and loose limbs from the March ice storm. I was happy the Packers got a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft last night in Matthew Golden. Brittany will have to be weather savvy on Monday with the possibility of severe weather late Monday. To which Brittany's like, don't tell me how to do my job.
She knows.
I know.
Rob's going to ask the forecast on the forecast.
Rob notes a 5/100 of an inch of rain in Tigerton, again, right there on the edge of the rain. And have a great weekend to three of the best people on morning radio and social media every day.
Thanks, Rob.
We appreciate that, Rob, very much. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you a little later.
Sounds good.
All right. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. It's National License Plate Day, commemorating the start of license plates starting in New York State this week in 1901, and a little bit about Wisconsin's license plates as well. Mr. Bach is part of the team of Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, coincidentally. Matinere on Air, which follows this fine program, and I believe you will be recombobulating at some point today.
Absolutely. We're going to have Dan Schaefer on the show in the second hour at 10 because we have new hours, 9 to 11. Dan will be coming onto the show talking about the draft, probably talking about the Bucks and all the news happening coming out of Madison, Milwaukee, all over the state and all over the country. You never know. But that starts at 11 in this. I'm sorry. I tried. I wanted so hard.
You were so there. So close.
He'll be coming in the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll wrap up the entire show, and we'll wrap up the week as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
All right. Hey, do you still have the draft audio handy of the Packers pick?
I would like to play
that again. I'll set it up for folks because I went to bed before the Packers. They drafted 23rd. There was no way Grandpa was staying up for all of that. And so for folks who hadn't heard it yet, hadn't heard the news, the Packers have become legendary, or should I say a running joke, for never picking up receivers in the draft, and it gets some fans rather frustrated. So give a listen to this next 90 seconds or so, minute plus, of Mark Murphy coming up and announcing the Packers pick, and the crowd goes wild. So do the TV announcers. Give a listen.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver.
Listen to this crowd.
Oh, baby.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas.
And he's here. And he's here.
I'll tell you what, timing is everything. You wait till the draft is in Green Bay. You go get a man for the green and gold named Golden. You can't script this any better. Everybody. everybody in this entire crowd wanted a wide receiver, Rich, and they came through for him.
Listen to this crowd.
Literally, the crowd went wild, and you had the Go Pack Go cheer going on for quite a while after that. So while I missed it live, it was great to listen to it this morning. Hope you enjoyed it as well. And Greg, all we can do now is lift our expectations too high, right?
Exactly. Well, we're going we'll take that Super Bowl ring now, please. Thank you very much, right? Is that what we do as Packer fans? Should I watch more football this season, Pat?
No. Keep it just where it is. We're at just the right amount because, again, we set those expectations too high. You just get your heart broken.
There you go. That's right. I'm already a Brewers fan.
Let's talk about that. The Brewers fell short, lost 3 out of 4 in San Francisco, 6-5 yesterday. Christian Yelich misplayed a routine sack fly, allowing the go-ahead run to score. So the Brewers move on to St. Louis for a 3-game series starting tonight. And the coverage begins at 6:40 on several Civic Media radio stations. And, of course, the Bucks are down 0-2 in their best-of-7 series against the Indiana Pacers. The game is tonight in Milwaukee, and you can catch it on NBA TV outside of the Milwaukee market. Let's bring former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel in here for a moment. He's going to be part of the rest of the panel with Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob coming up in just a bit. But, Jim, I want to take care of a pretty serious matter here first, just because it was in the courts, and that was sentencing yesterday for the Highland Park, Illinois parade shooter, and its tie-in to Madison. Can you tell us a bit about what the sentencing was that was handed down for that mass murder?
Absolutely. This is Robert Crimo, C-R-I-M-O. He was the person who, on a 4th of July parade in Chicago, Highland Park, not too far away from where Greg is this morning, and you and I as well, just a northern Chicago suburb, and open fire. And he was sentenced on Thursday to 7 consecutive life sentences. That is reflective of the fact that 7 people were killed in that melee, 1 a life term for each of the people killed, and also sentenced to a 50-year term in prison for each of the 48 people who were wounded at that parade as well. Literally in excess of 1,000 years, significantly not eligible for parole. At the time of the sentencing, Judge Victoria Rossetti, she's a Lake County Circuit Court judge, says that he is irretrievably depraved, demonstrating no remorse for his actions. No sentence, she said, can ever change the events of July 4th, nor can it compensate for the loss of a loved one. 2 days of hearings just these past couple of days, presented by victims, families, others affected in the community. Again, another sobering reminder, not only of our great problems here in America related to guns, and yes, indeed, this was assault weapon again, but also the ways in which it can and does affect all of us. He plainly had some plans also to come to Madison, plainly apprehended before that happened, and we don't know what kind of carnage that could have followed that as well. But again, a time of reflection on who we are as a nation, thinking not only about the victims there and the others who were injured, but also what we need to do desperately in this nation to address guns. The Illinois legislature did respond. The Supreme Court continues to require that you focus on the past in order to justify present regulations, reasonable, rational regulations when it comes to guns in America.
This was in 2022, the 4th of July, when this happened. And yes, again, after what he did in Highland Park, he came up to Madison and I guess scouted out potentially a 4th of July parade that was going on. And then ultimately, for whatever reason, decided not to and disposed of the weapon. But thankfully, because alerts had gone out, witnesses were looking and recognized the car that they were told about and were able to tip off police and make that arrest. So we thought we would bring a little bit of closure to that. Jim, of course, will have much more about this and so much more on Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin, played back on Sunday as well. You can get all the details at civicmedia.us. So we'll look forward to all of the coverage that you're going to have on that. And, of course, everything that's coming up in our Week in Review panel coming up in a little bit throughout the course of this hour. So here's what we've got still ahead here from the Civic Media Radio Network here live from Lake Wissota. It's our full Week in Review panel with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze joining the conversation. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, we will talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley and the Donald Trump plan to make more babies in America, which is really odd given all the other ways you could address a worker shortage in this country. We will have a live conversation with Devin Remiker. He's candidate for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party as well. And, of course, more reaction to the NFL draft. The green and gold flannel shirt is out today for a reason. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:23. Currently light rain falling here at our 98.9 WXCO studios in downtown Wausau, and the temperature stands at 43 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and as we remind you here early on with the changes with the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, that during the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we bring you information, interviews, and more from our studios here in downtown Wausau. We focus locally at 722, 752, 822, and 852 each and every weekday morning. And then Pat Kreitlow handles the rest of the program from 6 until 9 a.m. Coming up during our local segments this morning, we'll be talking about folks such as Mayor Doug Dinney of Wausau, such as Kevin Hermaning, such as Tom Killian, because they have been in the news this week. And here on this Friday, we're going to talk about some of the news that we saw here in central Wisconsin this week. That we'll be discussing those folks during our next two segments here during the program. In our final segment this morning here locally from WXCO studios in Wausau, we'll be joined from the NFL draft by Mike Clemens, our 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media sports reporter. Mike, at the NFL draft in Green Bay, he'll be with us coming up at 8:52 this morning. That means because we are talking to Mike in our final segment here this morning, that our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh will be during the 8:22 segment a little bit later on this morning. And that also means that we will give Ian his topic for the number for the day coming up in our next segment. That's during the 7:52 segment here on WXCO. But Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. That sounds like a good plan.
I think it is a good plan. I think, you know, got to put it all together. A lot to talk about here this morning.
Indeed.
And then, of course, to be able to talk to Mike from Titletown, that will be a fantastic way to finish up our week and get you set for the weekend. A quick note, weather-wise, here in downtown Wausau, it looks as though that the rain is going to stick around at least for a couple of hours. But then, as the day continues, as we get into the afternoon, the rain will end and we'll just have cloudy conditions. So showers mainly before 1 p.m. today here in downtown Wausau. You'll see patchy fog between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. and a bit of a chilly high of only 51 degrees. We'll have some wind gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Then for tomorrow, if you're going to get ready to get out there for the weekend, looking outstanding, sunny and a high near 60, and partly sunny Sunday and a high near 60 as well.
Very nice.
But wanted to touch here in our first segment about the NFL draft last night, because I have one of my best friends is heading over there. We heard from Sean Wright yesterday. He is heading over there. A lot of folks here from Central Wisconsin heading over there. And I have to admit, I didn't watch a lot of it. I watched some of it. I watched when the Packers drafted last night. I don't know if you saw it, but it was...
I did watch a little bit last night. I did see the Packers had drafted. They got a wide receiver last night.
Yep, they got a wide receiver. They
from Texas.
From Texas. Matthew Golden.
That was it.
So a very quick, very dynamic wide receiver. But the thing I wanted to talk about is when I turned it on, I have to admit, I was kind of blown away by the scene. I wasn't sure what the scene would look like, but the scene was pretty amazing to see all those folks in Green Bay. I mean, they were tight. I mean, there were a lot of folks there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a really amazing visual when I first turned it on. And I also, and again, this is sort of off the football sports aspect of it.
Okay.
But when I saw all those people together, it reminded me that earlier this week, there was an anniversary of 5 years ago this week, when Donald Trump went up in front of the media at the White House and said that we should inject ourselves with bleach to try to stop COVID. But this is, it just popped into my mind last night while I was watching the NFL draft and all those people, again, so close together.
Yeah.
And you think back to 5 years ago when everything was shut down.
Oh,
we had
gosh.
No spring sports. We had no big events. We could not be close to each other. And my first thought was, thank you, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
Because
for him, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
My thought came to what was going on here the last 3 months and how, if President Biden had not given a preemptive pardon, not because people like Dr. Anthony Fauci did anything wrong, but because he knew and others knew what Donald Trump and the people around Trump were going to do. And we have seen it the last 3 months. They have gone after so many folks, law firms, universities, private citizens, and so many others. If President Biden had not said to Anthony Fauci, I'm going to give you the option here, so you don't have to worry about Donald Trump going after you to have a preemptive pardon. And that's what he did. Not because he was guilty of anything. And I want to underline that. But watching that NFL draft last night and seeing all those people, that long shot, right? Saw the long shot so close. And I thought, you know, who would have thunk 5 years ago that in Green Bay would be doing that in the spring of 2025? Because you didn't know what the future held at that point.
Oh.
But now we have quacks like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and other just totally unqualified folks in our government right now. But we had somebody that was qualified in Dr. Anthony Fauci, who did the right things, helped develop these vaccines, and now
we were able to do these kind of events again. And again, I mean,
so thank you, Dr. Fauci.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was like, it was a wonderful.
We can't thank you enough, honestly.
But it was a wonderful experience, I'm sure, for everybody that went over there last night. Those are going to be there tonight and tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
But we have to start thinking about, why are we able to do these things? And it's not something that could automatically happen either. Nope. We have to do the right things.
We certainly do.
But next segment, we'll give you that topic for the number for the day quiz and a whole bunch more.
Cool.
But coming up, we're going to hand it back over to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. So stay up to date with Pat coming up. The time is 7:30. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. 11 veterans were recognized for their service during a heartfelt ceremony in Wisconsin Rapids on Wednesday. Melissa Kay has the story.
The Quilts of Valor presentation took place at Renaissance by Rennes on the morning of April 23rd. Each quilt is handcrafted by the Material Girls of Wisconsin and a beautiful tribute to each veteran's service, sacrifice, and valor. Tom Heiser served as part of the Color Guard from the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 101, taking part in the Quilts of Valor ceremony.
Quilts of Valor, where veterans receive a quilt that cannot be sold, cannot be given away as a present. It belongs to the veteran and can stay within the family.
Tom said it was an honor to be a part of the day. He said many of the veterans honored served in the 1950s during the Korean conflict situation. Jeff Peters is a retired veteran and also mentioned during the ceremony as a friend of the veterans at Renaissance by Rennes. Jeff visits the facility every Thursday morning at 10 to talk with veterans and share stories.
We sit together, we have coffee, donuts, and we just talk about their lives, you know, their service, their, you know, what they've done. And, you know, they go from 89 to 102. And it's just amazing to me the memories, you know, that they have. And one of the reasons I did this is I wanted to be able to pass those memories on.
Jeff said family members are always welcome to join them at 10 on Thursdays. The next Quilt of Valor ceremony will happen this summer, and Jeff will be one of the recipients. If you would like to nominate a veteran to receive a quilt, you can do so at qovf.org. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
You're listening to WXCO News, and I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lots to see in the theaters this weekend, including good kids stuff. As A24's The Legend of Ochi opens, A24 is making movies like they used to be made, and it's a wonderful thing. Their newest effort, a fantasy adventure, tells the story of a girl who is scared of a rare species called the Ochi. The film is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with 85%. Star Wars fans may or may not like that Revenge of the Sith is being re-released. Only 66% of audiences enjoyed this film. Do you give it another chance? Horror film Until Dawn tells the story of a group of friends forced to live the same night over and over in the woods. The film is not yet rated, but looks absolutely gruesome. And if you're in the mood for an action thriller, check out The Accountant 2, starring Ben Affleck as Christian Wolf, who uncovers a conspiracy and goes on the hunt for a network of killers. Certified fresh at 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A little fog this morning, then it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers here for a pretty good chunk of the day today. Our high right around 50, bit breezy with northerly wind gusts from 15 to 20, maybe up to 25. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-30s. Tomorrow, sunny, upper 50s. By Sunday, partly cloudy in the low 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Civic Media.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's a Friday morning, April 25th, live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you along with our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Jennifer Schulze, and Mark Jacob. Mark Jacob has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can get it at stopthepresses.news. You can also get it through Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News, along with all kinds of news stories and videos. Our links to newsletters that are affiliated with Courier, including Mark's, which this week is called Five Ways Major Media Can Seek Redemption. I'm going to add one onto it here, Jennifer. And that is, if the Secretary of Defense has been discovered sharing war plans with a text chain with a reporter, and then has another text chain involving his wife and brother-in-law, like that. Then it's discovered that he had the Signal app put on his Pentagon desktop computer. And what's this latest one, Mark? It's the same phone number that he used for Signal is tied to a fantasy sports account.
Right. And Facebook and WhatsApp. So he's just using it all over the internet.
So, Jennifer, the question I've got is why isn't every newsroom just beating the drum on this for the insane scandal it is, which makes whatever Hillary Clinton was doing, well, look properly like it wasn't anything like what it is now?
You know what? I think actually the media coverage has been pretty good. I think NBC News is out in front on a lot of it, and New York Times and Washington Post. I think the coverage is good. And one way I think we know that it's good, it's people in the country know about this. It has broken through in a way that a lot of things don't. And I think that's in part because of national and local news coverage. I mean, I always, you know, want banner headlines about things and screaming from the rooftops kind of stuff. But I do think the coverage has been pretty good. And I think now it will be relentless because there's so much there. We're getting now these different updates every day about stuff. I mean, even he's spent thousands of dollars on a new makeup studio. Now that's not the same thing as the Signal chat, but it's all part of a picture of just incompetence and distraction and just how inappropriate the guy is.
Exactly. And along the lines, Jim, of those distractions is, again, to divert from things that are scandalous, we get things like, you know, plucking people off the streets, going after Harvard. And one of the latest ones now is going after a website that primarily processes campaign donations to Democratic candidates known as Act Blue. And like so much that comes out of this administration, even if there is a grain, a kernel of something factual in there, they'll find a way to just wrap it in lies and conspiracies. What's happening with this Act Blue case that's right. been referred to the U.S. Department of Justice?
Yes, it is once again an incredible undertaking, if you will. That's being charitable for the White House, but it follows in the path. And again, it follows in the path of retribution, which was the president's campaign promise. We spoke on this program just a couple of weeks ago about the fact that the president has already referred these two fellows. His name is Christopher Krebs. He's a cybersecurity expert who said no. And in fact, the machines did not prompt the underreporting of the 2020 election results for Donald Trump. And then there's also this other fellow, named Miles Taylor. He was the one who wrote the op-ed suggesting that there was a significant pushback inside the government. The president referred them, different agencies, for criminal prosecution. And now we get the third one. And to Jennifer's good point about, and your good point, and Mark's good point about focus, this is at the same level as these other things we've been talking about. Why? Because it indicates not only do we have a president who is now directing an attorney general who is adopting whatever the president says to open criminal investigations against people and now entities he doesn't like. Act Blue is the fundraising platform, as you just said, Pat, powers virtually every Democratic candidate, every cause out there. President doesn't like it, obviously, would like to shut it down. There's no indication, which is also part of the threshold understanding before you open investigation. No suggestion whatsoever that there's criminal activity at all. If there is something, the Federal Election Commission, as with all of these funding platforms, they're the ones who've got it. Trump says he's asking for a report on what they have done, specifically illegal donations, straw donations, and also donations from international foreign donors, all of which would be a federal crime, of course. Again, no indication, no scintilla of proof. But let's open up a file now on Act Blue. Let's investigate them. Of course, the Act Blue attorneys have looked, as said, and the leadership has said there's nothing here. But as we so often said, it is the investigation that is the punishment. And that's what Donald Trump knows.
And that's the thing that, again, the media can do their version of investigations, looking into things. And if time allows, I want to come to Trump having a private dinner for all the investors, quote unquote, that invested in his crypto coin. We'll go to that for Mark. But Jim, I want to stick with you for just one more thing. And I talked about it an hour ago with the Department of Transportation, Trump's Department of Transportation and Secretary Sean Duffy, trying to keep New York City from having a what's called a congestion pricing setup. That you have to pay more if you want to bring your car onto Manhattan. And it's working. It's keeping, you know, fewer cars are coming in, polluting the air, clogging up the roads. So, of course, the Trump administration is going after it. And I guess in the Southern District of New York, the U.S. attorneys there mistakenly, quote unquote, filed something that was actually supposed to be a confidential memo, which was their legal advice basically to Sean Duffy and to Donald Trump saying, this is a flimsy case. We can't win this. But it got filed instead. And so now, of course, the Trump administration has taken the case away from the Southern District. They're trying to say it's an embarrassment for the Southern District. To me, it sounds like, can't prove it, sounds more like, you know, these people in this office kind of knew they were on the way out anyway. So you may as well let people know just what a fool's errand and a waste of taxpayer resources this was. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think it was a genuine mistake.
The U.S. attorney there, of course, has to say, yes, indeed. Oops, we goofed. On the other hand, these are internal memorandums, as you could well imagine. I wrote many of them. Assistant United States attorneys write them all the time. Internal is the point, right? And the notion is we want to talk with your client, the government, the Department of Transportation in this case, to tell them what the reality is. And this memo was kind of a doozy. It said, basically, we're going to lose this notion of pushing back on the congestion pricing program. Doesn't have any legs. This is not good. And saying internally what they regrettably cannot say publicly, perhaps should say publicly, trying to get the department and the Department of Transportation, Sean Duffy, to say, hey, let's back off on all this. Whether it was intentional or not, it discloses reality, which is, once again, what you would expect from Department of Justice lawyers to say, here's what's really going on. And again, the fact, this is, once again, what we do is when you don't want what the lawyers do, what do? We get rid of them. The same happened to the attorney before Judge Zinnes, who acknowledged indeed that Abrego Garcia was improperly taken and deported. What do? We make it even more of a story by saying, now we're going to get rid of the attorneys and we're going to pull it to main justice, where presumably those civil division attorneys won't make this kind of mistake. It's bad all around.
Mark, looking forward, in the first Trump term, there were people who knew things, and some things got leaked to reporters. But unfortunately, people who could have been sources and people who are reporters waited till after Trump was out of office and wrote a book about the things that they saw. Do you think that we've crossed some kind of a line and maybe we'll see more cases of insiders and reporters who learn inside information letting us know in real time instead of waiting years later for the book to come out?
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I think clearly there's a sense of urgency we've never seen before. I mean, maybe some reporters thought, well, they could save the information for the book and it's okay because it's just politics and it'll just go on. This is way beyond just politics. This is the future of our country, the survival of our democracy. So anyone who holds on to anything now is complicit. And, you know, I mean, I was furious at people like Bob Woodward, who withheld the fact that Trump admitted he was lying to the American public about COVID. You know, he held that for, you know, for months and months. And so that's just unconscionable. So, yeah, I think I hope at least that the news media will just, when they know something, they'll say it. And we are seeing that a little bit. And I mean, what I'm really worried about is that as these whistleblowers get identified and get fired, you know, because anyone who even looks like they might be talking to the press is getting fired in the Trump administration now, that ultimately you're going to have the only people who work for Trump are the people who are co-conspirators, you know, and you won't have any leakers anymore.
Let me throw a curveball at Jennifer first, that we hadn't talked about previously, but when you mentioned, you know, Trump, and I was thinking about things with Ukraine today, Ukraine this week, basically, and Marco Rubio saying, well, we're just going to pull out if the sides aren't serious, and Trump bashing Volodymyr Zelensky again. I don't think there was nearly enough media coverage of this that noted Trump was the one committing the crime of trying to blackmail Zelensky in his first term. It's what led to the first Trump impeachment. But the question I'd put is, plenty of folks have referred to Trump as a Putin puppet. Has he, especially if we walk away from Ukraine, have we earned the stronger title of Quisling? And I mean, at that point, we're going back to, you know, a guy who basically sold out his own country to serve the Nazis. I feel like we're really getting into that area if the U.S. walks away from Ukraine.
I think that this is probably the most important story in the world. And I'm not sure that it's breaking through, for example, like Signalgate did, which is also important. But the idea that we have joined forces with Russia, basically, right? And are saying Russia can have Crimea, no questions asked, and Ukraine can't join NATO. That is just a remarkable place for the United States to be. And I do think the seriousness of it and the inappropriateness of it and just how unprecedented it is not something that has gotten nearly enough attention. It is really a terrifying place that we find ourselves in.
And of course, Mark, I think, is going to take the bait with me as far as whether we've crossed the line from puppet to Quisling at this point by selling out Ukraine, because you're also selling out, I mean, the entire European alliance mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this is where Trump was going all along. And, you know, I mean, just let's remember that he was trying to extort the Ukrainian president, you know, before the 2020 election. I mean, but finally he's at this place where he thinks he's powerful enough to where he can really betray Ukraine. And the thing that drove me crazy, Pat, was that his argument yesterday, Trump said he was asked, what concessions is Russia going to make? And he says, well, they're not going to take over the entire country. Like
stunning. I mean,
that's crazy town for him to mm-hmm. think that that's a concession. Oh, no. Well, to keep everything you've already stolen, but you're not going to be, you know, and all the people you killed and all the women you raped and all the high rise apartment buildings you blew up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not going to take the rest of the country. So that's quite a concession.
Again, art of the deal, kids. It's all really art of the deal. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, thank you all so very much. As always, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Take care.
Hey, still to come in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley. She was at the NFL draft in Green Bay. We're also going to talk about the Trump baby-making plan and Devin Remiker running for state Democratic Party chair. Remember, you can follow what we do at Up North News all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your Republican Senator Corey Tomchak wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Corey Tomchak at 608-266-2502 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR, paid for by Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. The time is 7:52. The rain continues to fall here in downtown Wausau. We are live from our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes again with our new morning lineup with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 till 9 a.m. We join you at 7:22, 7:52, 8:22, and 8:52 with local information, discussion, and more. With Ian Welsh, again, I am Chad Holmes. We're going to give Ian his topic for the number for the day quiz, which is coming up in the next hour in just a few minutes. But I wanted to speak about an article that came out on WasaPilotsandReview.com earlier this week that's got a lot of people, I think, talking. Mm-hmm. And the headline is rather incendiary. It came from Tom Killian, former Wausau council member. And Tom Killian has said a lot of very smart things. And he's been somebody that's been, I think, on the right side of many issues. But one area that he is, I have found to be a bit bewildering has been his steadfast support for Doug Denny. Going back to the election last year, while Killian did not come out and make a formal endorsement in that race,
There was plenty of rumbles out there that he was not a fan of former Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And I've never really understood where maybe the fallout occurred or why it occurred, but there was a lot of rumble out there that he was somebody that was not in favor of a new term for the former Mayor Katie Rosenberg. And nothing that has occurred since then has indicated that that wasn't true, as he has been somebody that has not been very critical of Doug Dinney in the first year that the mayor has been in office. And it really ratcheted up here with this opinion column this week. And of course, we have talked about this issue when it came to the election drop box from a year ago. Mm-hmm. Not a year ago, but last fall. And Killian has said, and I've heard this previously as well, that this is an attempt to remove Mayor Doug Dinney from office. And I know for a fact, from somebody that sits across from me in this studio from time to time, that he has been told, no, this is not about removing Doug Dinney from office. Mm-mm. And I'm not going to read you the article. You can go to wasapilotandreview.com, folks, and read the article. And Tom Killian talks about other episodes of mayoral malfeasance, whether in office or whether in their personal lives. And he says that this is not worthy of what has been done. And he talks about the never-ending investigation. Well, the problem with trying to put this on the folks that have brought up the issue is the never-ending investigation is not because of the folks that are saying that there should be some sort of responsibility taken by the mayor in this matter. It's because the mayor is fighting it. The investigation continues. We have a lot of outside moving parts, as we've seen with the Ethics Committee and also the State Department of Justice. But the idea, beyond any factual basis, that this is an attempt to remove Mayor Doug Dinney from office is false. But when you do something, there has to be consequences to it.
That's right.
And the point being, from those folks who think that the mayor was outside his lane, as he would like to say back in the campaign, that he wanted the mayor to stay within her lane when it was Mayor Katie Rosenberg, no. If he went out there and removed a drop box in a political stunt, and I call it a mega move, and I've said this many times, a mega move, something that was very Trumpian, then there should be consequences to it. If he was able to do it with, you know, with the law, then, hey, there's no problem there. But this was not the case. He was told, you can't do this. And he did it. So I don't understand. And again, I would encourage you to go to WASA Pilot and Review and WASAPilotandReview.com, read Tom Killian's article. But he calling this a slow-moving coup is unfair to people who believe that the mayor did something wrong.
Absolutely, it is wrong.
And also, I have not heard from Mr. Killian any thought that maybe if the mayor would come out, say that, nope, that was, I for whatever reason, I thought maybe I could do it, but in the end, I was wrong. I think it would go away in a moment. But
yeah, it's about accountability.
Accountability is the perfect word. So again,
responsibility,
I just,
and like you said, consequences.
I mean, he says, do I think it was silly for him not to return the Dropbox sooner? Yes, I do. That's the only slap on the wrist that he gives in the entire article. So again, check it out. I just found it to be a head shaker, because I thought folks on the right believe that law and order is important. Wow. And following the rules are important. And apparently when it comes to the supporters of Doug Dinney, it's a one-way street, not
recent
a two-way street.
I suggested otherwise.
So again, it's at wasapilotandreview.com. Well, before we get to the top of the hour and get back to hour number three of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, coming up in the next hour, because we have Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, joining us from the NFL draft in the final segment, we're going to move up the number for the day quiz to the next segment, our 8:22 segment. We're
nice.
Back here in our studio. So we're going to give Ian right now the topic for today's number for the day.
All right.
And because the NFL draft was such a ringing success in Green Bay last night. Mm-hmm. Big crowd in Green Bay. Our number for the day will be the NFL draft attendance.
NFL draft attendance.
And I'm not saying this NFL draft, but generally.
Generally.
The NFL draft attendance. So it was a big attendance last night. And it could be last night. Who knows? I mean, that falls under the umbrella. So
we should have focused on that.
I'm going to let you think about the NFL draft attendance, and we will give that number for the day and the number for the day quiz coming up at the end of the 8:22 segment.
Okay.
Something to look forward to.
Sounds good.
Also, we're going to get it back to Pat Kreitlow coming up after an information update on WXCO.
CBS News brief. Russian officials say a top general was killed in a car bomb outside Moscow today. CBS's Holly Williams.
Russian media is reporting that the device was detonated remotely as General Moskalik walked past. We cannot confirm those details at this point.
That comes a day after deadly airstrikes on Kyiv. Luigi Mangione is expected to enter a plea at court in New York. A day after federal prosecutors confirmed they'd seek the death penalty and the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO. CBS's Anna Schechter.
We expect it to be a plea of not guilty, as he has pled in the New York State charges and the charges in Pennsylvania related to this alleged crime.
The Vatican says 150,000 people have now filed past Pope Francis' casket.
I think we all feel a little lost, because when you love someone that you lose, you feel lost, you know?
CBS News.